This is the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, episode 448.
You're listening to the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray. Tune in every week for practical advice that will help you build your online audience. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to create a semi-passive income stream in your business by creating your own journal or planner. Now, this is a topic that I've covered a few times on the podcast, but I've tended to focus more on the mechanics of actually doing it. So how do you come up with an idea for your diary or journal? How do you find somebody to print it? How do you plan out all the pages? How do you choose the paper, the cover? All of the technical aspects of your planner. I've also got an episode, and I will link to these in the show notes, on how much it costs to launch your own planner or journal. But what I really wanted to focus on in this episode is how to make sure it actually makes you money and how to turn it into a semi-passive income stream. Now, there is an important reason why I'm saying semi. I don't actually believe there is ever truly passive income. There's always work to be done, particularly work to be done up front. But once you've created a planner or a journal, it's certainly semi-passive. And there is something very satisfying. I'm going to be drawing on my own experiences. It's 5 years now that I've been selling my own planner, creating and selling it every single year. And there's something very satisfying about creating a physical product and doing all of the work up front and then seeing the sales come in. Yes, there is some work to maintain those sales, but it's certainly very nice to have something that you know is selling away. When you wake up in the morning, you've got money in your PayPal, your Stripe, and you know it's a really nice income stream to have in your business. Now, before we dig into the content, I do just want to let you know about something relevant. So I'm recording this in early March 2021, and I'm going to be hosting my annual masterclass, How to Launch and Create Your Own Planner, on March the 18th. So that's 2021 if you're listening in the future, but it will be available as a replay. It's the third year, I think, that I've taught this class live. It's also available as a recording if you can't make it live. But if this is something that's on your agenda for the coming year, something that you're interested in doing, and particularly if you're interested in creating a seasonal planner, by that I mean something that goes January to January, or it covers a certain time frame, it could be an academic planner, then now is the time to be thinking about it. So I put my diary on sale in August, and it seems to get earlier every year, but people start thinking about buying planners and journals for the next year, August, September time. So if you think, wow, why is she talking about this in March? It's because there is quite a lot involved. And the earlier that you can get started, the more sales you're going to be able to make. So obviously, I'm sure that's something you're interested in doing. So we're not going to dive into the content, but I will put a link to that class in the show notes. But it's janetmurray.co.uk/how-to-launch-your-own-planner. So it's janetmurray.co.uk/how-to-launch-your-own-planner. And now on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to create a semi-passive income stream in your business by launching your own planner or journal. So this episode is going to be good for you if A, you've always fancied launching your own planner or journal or diary, but you're just not sure really how to go about it, or you've got a bit of an idea going around your head, but you're not sure whether it's got legs. It will also apply to you if you've tried to launch a diary, journal or planner before, and maybe you didn't make as many sales as you were hoping for. I think this episode will unlock some of the reasons why that's happened. And finally, maybe you've picked this episode out because you've seen semi-passive income and you've seen planner or journal. It's not something you've ever thought about, but you're like, maybe I could do this. Tell me more. And this episode is absolutely for you if that applies. I also want to say at this stage that this episode is very much suitable for product-based business owners. If you have a product, then you can absolutely create a planner product or a diary product. It's just about coming up with an idea that really links to your product. It's absolutely possible. I'm going to share some examples with you as we go. There's absolutely no reason why you can't launch your own planner or journal or diary. It's just about coming up with an idea that makes sense within your sales funnel. Now, also just to add, I did mention this in the introduction, I'm going to focus more on the making your planner or journal profitable in this episode. I do have two other episodes One on how to launch your own planner. It looks much more at the practicalities. So how many pages, where to find a printer, what paper to use, covers, how to bind it, all of that kind of stuff. Have a full episode on that. I also have one on how much it costs to launch your own planner as well. So I'll link to those in the show notes. In this episode, I'm just going to focus on how to make sure your planner or journal actually makes you money. Because I have come across quite a few people over the 5 years I've been doing my own planner who have told me that they've launched some kind of planner or journal, and while they enjoyed the process, they didn't really make any money. So just to put this into context for you, so my social media diary and planner, it's now in its 5th year, or I've just done the 5th year. So this year, I've still got to do the specifics, but it looks like it's generated around 185,000 in sales. That's revenue, by the way, not profit. Obviously, there are costs involved, quite significant costs involved. But that's about 185,000 of the actual product and also a related membership and event, which I'll tell you more about as we go, which is one of the exciting things about a planner or journal. You can build a whole business around it. So there is money to be made. There's people out there making much more money than me for their planners or journals. The great thing about it is once you've got it all set up, it does feel quite semi-passive. However, I do want to be honest with you up front that if you are expecting to launch a planner or journal and you don't currently have a big audience, you don't currently have a lot of people following you online, and crucially people on your email list, then I wouldn't be expecting to make those kind of sales for quite some years. So I just want to be realistic with you. This isn't a get rich thing. There's no such thing. But this is something that you can build for the future. When I sold my first diary, I sold much more modest numbers than this year. I had no idea where it was going to lead. I just thought it would be quite a fun idea. And I certainly covered my costs and I made a bit of money. But as it's gone, it's built into something. And the great thing about a planner business is that it's sellable. If you can create a diary or a planner or a journal that people really love, and you have a good size customer list to go with it, you've got a good size email list like I have, you've got something that you could sell in the future. Like somebody else could take the whole thing off you. You could just front it. Maybe you don't even need to front it, but you have got an asset that you can sell. If you've got a planner, you've got a physical product that people love, they buy every year, you've got a thriving email list, a thriving customer list, that's valuable. But what I'm saying here is don't expect to get that overnight. It will take time to build an audience or a community. However, if you're listening and you already have quite an engaged community, then you may well be able to progress much quicker. But if you've got quite a modest size audience, expect your progress to be more modest. It's not a get rich quick scheme. So I'm going to take you through in this episode, I'm going to talk about 5 areas that you need to look at if you want to make sure it actually makes money. And this is actually the difference between it making money the first or second time you bring it out, but also it's going to help you have a much more successful and profitable planner 5 years, 10 years down the line. So let's dig in then. So the first thing that you need to think about if you want to create a profitable planner or journal, as I say, I've met many business owners over the years who have launched something and they're very proud of it, but they just haven't made much money. So the first thing that you need to do is to make sure that your planner solves a specific problem for a very specific type of person. If it's too broad, if it's too general, well, there's so many planners, journals, diaries out there. You only have to go on Etsy and put planner or journal in. There are thousands, millions probably. So if yours is too broad, if it's too general, it won't appeal to anyone. So for example, my social media diary and planner, it solves 2 key problems. So it helps people who are stuck for ideas. It's got thousands of key dates and awareness days in there that helps people who are struggling just to come up with ideas for social media and just need that kind of little spark of an idea when they're planning out their content. It also helps people who struggle to stay consistent because it gives them somewhere to plan their content. It comes with full instructions to create an annual content plan, quarterly, weekly, daily. So there's 2 quite specific problems that it solves, and it is specifically aimed at people who run a business or people who have to create social media content or content generally for a business or a brand. It's not for consumer use, if you like. So it's got a very specific, or it solves some very specific problems, and it's also got a specific audience as well. Another example I could give you is I've been looking at planners. So I belong to a piano membership called Pianotes. And one of the problems I have as an amateur pianist is organizing my practice. Like, what do I practice? Now, actually, Pianote is pretty good in, it's got some good videos on how to put together a practice session. But sometimes, and having done lots of piano over the years and taken lots of exams, it can be difficult to remember what you're supposed to be practicing and what you've already practiced and what scales you've done. So I noticed recently that they had a piano practice planner. Brilliant. Really specific. Solves that specific problem or a set of problems around not knowing what to practice. Perhaps it's got suggestions in there on what to practice and when, but also keeping a record of what you've practiced. So you can also look back at your progress. You can make sure that you're not practicing things that you've already practiced. You can look over the course of a number of months or years at the progress that you've made. So it actually solves quite a few problems for you as a pianist. Another example might be wedding planner. So there's lots of planners that you can buy on how to plan your wedding and make sure that you've done all the things that you need to do to get organized for your wedding. And they've got checklists and they've got templates that you can use. And again, it's saving you time. It's making sure that you don't forget things. It's giving you a record. It's also actually quite a nice record if you're planning a wedding, like to go back and look at. You might want to give it to your children maybe to show them the process that you went through. So it's solving a very specific problem. So that's the very first thing. If your journal or planner is just really general, if you haven't got a specific audience in mind, I mean, even within the wedding planners, you can niche down on that. I'll talk more about that in a second. But there's a lady that I had on the podcast a few years ago, Alicia McCormack, and she has the Bridezilla wedding planner. She has a Bridezilla podcast and she has a wedding planner for women who kind of hate all of those kind of bridal magazines and all that kind of guff. Now, I've seen wedding planners for people who like vintage style weddings or people who like 1950s style weddings or whatever. So the more specific you can be, solving a problem for a specific type of person, while you might feel that that will reduce your sales, actually, you're likely to make far more mini sales. Because if your planner just feels too general, if it feels like it could be for anyone, you'll struggle to get anyone to buy it. So that's number one. Make sure your planner solves a specific problem for a very specific person. Number two, and this is really related, is pick a niche. So I'm going to give you some examples. So when I browse through Etsy at different planners, journals or diaries, and by the way, I wouldn't suggest that you sell it on Etsy. I'd suggest that you sell it direct, but I'm just giving that as an example. It's a good place actually to look for ideas. But browsing through, there's tons of hair planners, for example. I mean, who knew that there would be a planner? There's a planner for everything, but who knew there would be a planner for looking after your hair? But when I was looking through some of the examples, I could see ones that were about specific things. So growing out short hair, or doing the curly girl method, which is when you kind of go back to your, if you've been straightening your hair for a long time, you go back to your natural curls. It's a method that you can follow. It's a whole thing. So it's solving a very specific problem for a very, very specific person. These two are very linked. Then there's millions, I say millions, there's hundreds of planners on dog training and pet care. But again, even that could possibly be too wide. So why not niche down and just look at potty training or behavior training or something like that? Why not consider looking at a very specific breed of dog? I've got a client actually who I've been working with who's been quite resistant around that. She does work specifically with a particular breed of dog. She, oh, but what will happen? Does that mean that other people won't be interested? And I said, look, how many of these dogs are there in the world? And she was like, oh, there's like millions. It's like, you'll be fine. Like you only need to sell this many, you'll be fine. So don't be scared of niching. If your product is too broad, if people can't say, oh, wow, that actually solves my specific problem, they won't buy it. So really look into niching and then try and go even tighter, try and niche again. Another example might be a gardening planner. So again, if you look on somewhere like Etsy or Amazon, you will see loads and loads of different gardening planners. But again, if I was choosing a gardening planner for my mum for a present or whatever, I would probably find that quite overwhelming. However, if there was one that was specifically about the type of gardening that my mum does, so maybe my mum's got a very small garden, or maybe my mum just grows vegetables or whatever, or maybe my mum has an allotment, suddenly that planner or journal or diary feels like it's much more for my mum or for me or whoever. So hopefully that's making sense, but key message here is if it's too broad, if it's too general, you'll struggle to sell it. If it's very specific for a specific person, as long as there are enough people in the world or enough dogs or cats or whatever, then you'll find it much easier to sell. So that's number two. Third one, build an audience to sell it to. If you're a regular listener to the podcast, you'll know this already, but the average conversion rate for online sales is just 1% to 2%. So that means that out of every 100 people in your audience, and by audience, by the way, I mean email list, social media followers are not real audience because you can't track your sales very well on social media. You can't predict and track sales like the way that you can with an email list. So that should give you an idea. If you would love to sell thousands of diaries or planners like I do, then you have to work from that conversion rate. Now, actually, my diary does convert a bit higher, 5 or 6% last year. I need to go back and have a look for this year. But remember that I've also got 5 years of a podcast behind me. I've got 5 years of doing business online. I've already got a bit of an audience. I always think it's better to start with that 1% to 2% conversion rate. If you're converting higher, brilliant. You're going to feel great. You can adjust your targets. But typically, I find that pretty much all of my clients convert at that kind of rate for this type of product as they get more experience, as they get better at writing sales pages, as they get better with their branding, it starts to look more professional. And this is the other thing you have to remember about all of this stuff is that nobody rocks up online knowing how to write the perfect sales page. Nobody rocks up online with the perfect branding, unless you've obviously got the budget to pay for this, in which case it might negate the profits that you make from your diary because you're probably not going to sell loads the first time that you launch, or it's less likely, certainly. All of this stuff takes time. The email marketing, it takes time to get good at email marketing. When I look at my sales page from my first planner, oh my Lord, I do so much better now. And a few years down the line, I'm sure I will be doing even better. But give yourself that time and space to get good at this and to get good at the marketing around it. It will take you time. Obviously, listening to my podcast, which I'll link to in the show notes, will help. And you can avoid some of the mistakes that I made when I was first doing it. But you need to build this audience, and you also need to build the authority as well. So if you are going to bring out a gardening planner or a marketing planner or a hair planner, then why would people buy from you if there's somebody who's already got a planner who has a really established audience? Maybe they've got a YouTube channel, maybe they've got a massive following on Instagram, they've already built their email list, they speak all over the place. Like, why would people buy from you? Now, this is not to put you off, this is just to give you a realistic idea of what you might expect the first time that you launch or the first few times that you launch. So if you go into it with that expectation, then you can only build from there. But if you go into it with an unrealistic expectation and think you're going to sell thousands when the numbers just aren't there, then you're going to feel disappointed. So be realistic. If you are going to do my planner class, that's one of the things I take you through. We actually do some calculations to see what your audience size is and what you can expect to sell. And you can make a decision about whether you want to launch now and just do a small print run. That's perfectly fine. It just sometimes, but generally would cost you a bit more to print if you're going to print smaller numbers and, you know, take the learning and build from there. Or you might decide that you want to take some more time to build your audience. But it's important that you build the audience, not only for the numbers and the size, but also for the authority. Like, why would people buy from you? Okay, so the next thing I want you to do is to think long term. So one of the things that I added to my diary, which is a massive game changer, and again, this has developed and got better over the years that I've been doing it, but I noticed a problem with the diary. So people were buying the diary, they loved it, it looks pretty, and they were using it, but they were sometimes running out of steam. So they'd get maybe 2 or 3 months into the year and they'd fallen off the wagon and they were no longer posting regularly or planning regularly. So I had this idea to create almost like a support group to help people. And initially it was called the Media Diary Owners Club. And we had 4 quarterly calls across the year. There were some additional resources and principles to go along with it. But the idea was to give that consistency, that support, the regular check-ins. This has developed hugely over the last 5 years. So now it's now called the 2021 Sorted Club. And next year it will be the 2022 Sorted Club and so on. But now members of this club that goes, people can either just buy the diary on its own or they can buy the 2021 Sorted Club or the 2022 Sorted Club. Now they get a ticket to my content planning event. So last year it was 2021 Sorted. This year it's going to be 2022 Sorted. So they get a ticket to that event live. They also get all of the recordings of that, which normally would have been sold separately. We have 4 quarterly coaching calls, and these are live streamed into a dedicated Facebook group that's open all year. before those calls, we have Zoom rooms so people can kind of get in and chat to each other about their content. We also have some bonus classes that go along with it. And the key thing actually is I send out an email every Monday with dates from the diary. So, and ideas on how to use them. So that's developed over the years as well. But I give a case study. So I take a date, one of the awareness days, and say, this is how you could turn this into content ideas. And here's some examples. And then we also have, these are really popular. This is a new addition this year. These grab and go posts. So basically we come up with, it's usually about 35 different questions or statements that you can turn into a social media post really quickly. So you can see there's a lot of value there and it's a bit of a no-brainer. So if you've bought the diary, by the way, and you didn't realize you could buy the 2021 Thought It Club, even if you bought it now as you're listening in March, you would still get so much value out of it just by merit of the fact you're getting those grab and go posts and you're getting the weekly email. But it's helping people to use the product and to get more out of the product, and you're getting better success rates. One thing that we've introduced this year is a Media Diary Owner of the Month. So we ask people to, there's an entry form that you have to fill out to share a piece of content that you've created, which you've created using the diary, one that you're particularly proud of. So that's helping us to generate more case studies and more stories of people who are successfully using the diary. This builds over time. I get new ideas each year on how I can build this information product that goes alongside my diary. But I have to tell you this, it is the most profitable product in my business. So this year, I think we have 636 people currently, it might be a little bit more, who have that particular product that goes alongside. So they've got the diary and the planning 2021 sorted product. In terms of my time, so it's probably about an hour a week to put together the newsletter. So over the course of the year, that's 52 hours. I do the quarterly calls, which are 8 hours. So that's probably 8-10 hours, maybe about 12 hours with a bit of prep. Obviously, the event is huge and takes up a lot of time. That happens in the November, but there are many other benefits to obviously running an event. But once that's sold and we've had the event, the amount of time that I invest into 2021 Sorted Club is quite minimal compared to other things in my business. And it's something that I've been able to scale. I've been able to outsource. So I now have Sam, my community manager, she runs the Facebook group and her and Kim schedule the posts. I now have help even writing the newsletters. It's very scalable and it's very outsourceable. Like once you've got your process in place of the support that you're going to offer, the only bits that I really have to show up for are the actual live calls and the classes. But actually the rest of it's a lot of it that can be outsourced, which is what I meant when I talked at the beginning about having something that you could sell, like building something that, you know, you've built the community, you've built the vibe, you've built the spirit, you've built the values and the mission behind it. But actually, a lot of it could be outsourced and run using your process by somebody else. It's quite an exciting and quite a profitable way to do business. So think long term. When you're thinking about an idea for your planner or journal, try and think. You won't get all the ideas straight away. I mean, this has taken me 5 years to add all these different parts to it. But just think about, is there some kind of digital course or digital, I mean, 2021 Sorted isn't really, it's like a membership really, but is there something, you don't have to launch it straight away, but is there something that you could see possibly some kind of digital support you could offer further down the line, because that will increase your profits. Now, when I gave you that figure at the beginning, it is quite approximate. What I didn't include was the upsell, which is the last point that I want to share with you. A product like a diary, a journal, or a planner is often an entry-level product, particularly if you have a service-based business. So my diary this year was £39. And although obviously that's still a significant investment, it's like an entry-level product. So when I look at my customer database, the diary is often the first thing that people buy before they buy other products. So people might buy the diary the first year, the next year they might buy the diary and the club that goes with it. And then they might join Build Your Online Audience. So that's something we need to sit down and look at for this year. But I know that this month alone, actually, we've just done an upsell in the last few days, actually, to people in the 2021 Sorted Club to join my Build Your Online Audience program. And at the last check, I think about 8 people had upgraded. So I need to look at the overall percentage. I mean, it's really quite significant, the number of people who have my diary in 2021 Sorted and have now moved into Build Your Online Audience, my signature membership program. But rather than see this as a standalone product that you sell on its own, you could see this as the first stage in your sales funnel. So this is why it's really important to get your idea right. So if you can get an idea, like in my case, my highest selling product is my Build Your Online Audience program. But in order to build an audience, first of all, you need to be publishing good content. So the diary and the content planning club, it's like the first step. Build Your Online Audience is the natural next step to take once you're in that kind of, you know, consistent habit of creating content. You've got quite good at creating content. Build Your Online Audience is the natural next step. So if you can create a planner or a journal that buying your higher level product or service feels like the next step or like one of the next steps up on the rung, then that's going to be, you know, much more profitable. Now, I just want to finish up by mentioning product-based businesses. So if you've been listening to this, then you might be thinking, well, that all sounds very well, but I sell a product. So I can't quite see how I could create something. So again, it's always back to thinking about what's the problem that the product or the products that you sell, what does it solve? So let's say, for example, you sell hair bands. I had a client a few years ago who sold hair bands. Then some kind of hair planner, obviously with the advice I gave earlier about making sure it's as specific as possible. If you sell sportswear, so if you have a sportswear range, you sell clothes and you have a sportswear range, then you could do some kind of fitness diary to help people plan their fitness sessions. I'm currently training because I've got to run a half marathon at the end of this month, not like a real one because there's no races at the moment, but I've got to run that distance. I sat down and mapped out on my calendar all the sessions that I had to do on what days I needed to do them in order to achieve that. People love that kind of thing, you know, somewhere to write it and somewhere to keep a record of what they've done, like the piano one. If you sell pianos, you know, you could do a piano practice planner. If you sell home accessories and gifts, you could perhaps do an interior design project planner. So it's just about going back to basics, like what's the problem? What are the problems that your product or services solve? Who is your audience? What problems have they got? So maybe you sell a product that's specifically for mums who are breastfeeding diary. Okay, so honestly, when you start to think about the problems that your product or service solves, that's when the ideas will start coming. So I hope you found this useful. As I say, this episode is purely focusing on how to create a profitable semi-passive income stream. So it's how to create a journal or a planner that actually makes you money rather than it's just a nice to have. If you want to dig into the specifics and the practicalities of how to actually produce your planner, I would really recommend coming to my class. I do have a podcast episode on it, which I will link to in the show notes. But I don't think it's the same as being able to come along to a class and ask questions. And of course, in the How to Launch a Planner class, I go into a lot more depth than I do on a podcast, which is available to everybody. So if you're really serious about this, I would suggest that you invest in the How to Launch a Planner masterclass. And it also contains templates. It contains checklists. So things like, you know, if you're going to a printer and you want to ask them for a quote, has all the things that you need to be able to tell them before you do that. Because one mistake people make a lot with planners is thinking they could just ring up a printer and go, hi, I want to launch a planner. And the printer says, well, how many pages? What kind of paper do you want? What cover? And they're like, oh, so I've got all of that, everything that you would possibly need to get your planner project off the ground. We have the templates, we have the checklist, we have everything that you absolutely need in the class. So it's definitely worth the investment. So I'll link to that along with the podcast episodes in the show notes. And as ever, I do love hearing from you. So drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk, or you can connect with me over on Instagram @janmurrayuk.
If you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, do check out her Build Your Online Audience program over at buildyouronlineaudience.com. The Build Your Online Audience program is the essential resource for anyone looking to build an engaged online following. If you want to attract more leads online so you can stop wondering where your next sale is coming from, or if you want to launch a dream project like an online course, book, or podcast, the Build Your Online Audience program has everything you need to grow an engaged online following. Head over to buildyouronlineaudience.com to find out more.